Attention, men. Are you wanting to break free from porn or other unwanted sexual behaviors, but finding it seemingly impossible to quit? If so, we can help. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. This 3-day workshop is for any man who wants to overcome any kind of unwanted sexual behavior. So whether you're married, single, or divorced, this powerful and proven intensive weekend will help you uncover what is at the root of your struggle and discover the man God always created you to be. Space is limited, so call us today at 210-822-8201 to register. That's 210-822-8201, or visit bebroken.org/GTF. Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In this episode, Stephen Cervantes and I dive into the ongoing struggles of emotional disconnection in marriage, sparked by one man's agonizing question, which was this: how does a man live a good life while feeling alone and disconnected in his marriage? We explore the pain of feeling isolated from a spouse and the importance of personal growth, faith, and community support. Stephen shares some incredible wisdom on enduring suffering, finding joy beyond one's spouse, and the necessity of a supportive network. We emphasize that personal transformation often happens through discomfort and that God's presence provides comfort and guidance all along the way. This episode is actually a hopeful reminder that growth and resilience can lead to deeper connections and fulfillment even in challenging circumstances. For daily insights from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For additional resources, visit bebroken.org or check out some of the links that we're going to put into today's show notes. And as always, friends, please rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it. Now let's dive into this heavy but hopeful conversation with Stephen. All right, Mr. Stephen Cervantes.
We are here and ready and sitting upright in our chairs. Class is about to begin. The lesson is starting, so get your paper and pencil ready.
Absolutely. And when this is airing, we are in the new year.
Oh.
And so that's a great way to think about it. Get your pen, paper, you know, class. We want to, you know, I think whenever the new year comes in, there's a lot of hype, right? There's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Because we get to close out a year and go, okay, man, whatever I want to leave behind, and I really want some new. So there's always a lot of fresh thinking or a lot of at least fresh energy sometimes
yes.
that comes into the new year.
Amen.
So let's try to leverage that.
Yeah, and we hope wisdom is about to be imparted.
Mm-hmm.
We hope.
That's what we hope for, yeah.
And blessings and wisdom and information training, and that you get a little bounce out of this if you've been dragging, if it's been slow. Because God is growing us, every one of us. And so this gentleman posed a question to me, and I thought it was a great question for you and I to try to dig into. He said, I've been married 20 years, and my wife had emotional pain and suffering growing up, came from a hard, harsh background. And she's kind of consumed and lost in herself. I pointed it out. I made suggestions. But she feels safer staying inside herself and sort of not wanting to explore it and be known. And I'm trying to bond with this individual who's a little private to herself, quiet, withdrawn. So how do I do that? How does a man have a good life while feeling alone and disconnected to his wife? How am I going to have a good life? How am I going to live a lifetime being alone a lot, disconnected a lot, trying to build, being rejected, not being heard, her not understanding? How am I going to be okay?
Now, we actually hear this a lot in our ministry. I get this a lot in our men's groups. I get this a lot at Gateway. We get this a lot in our grace-based online groups. Now, I will say this, that many of these men are asking this question as a result of what has kind of blown up in their marriages because of their secrets and all that. And so this is not about trying to create some kind of comparison here of healing and all that. But let's take this man's story and just at least recognize that it's a pretty common one.
Okay.
In at least in our space of ministry. And I and the commonality here is that we see a lot where men are really working on their recovery.
Yes.
And they've had a year, 2 years, maybe even several years where they have been clean and sober. And so there's a sense in which their marriage is not connecting like this. There's either the wife has gotten stuck, or there's a sense in which there's this idea that there should permanently be this distance because of what he did in the past. Now, the main thing I want to focus on here, though, is what the man's question was.
Well, wait, but let me throw another little addition to what you said. And sometimes his bad behaviors have caused her to withdraw.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right? So we don't know. The premise from him is she came in badly wounded.
Yeah.
And then if you think about what you're saying, then a man can wound a woman on top of her woundedness.
Yeah. And I think it's important also to say here, whenever we're trying to answer or respond to a particular person's story and a particular person's, marriage, let's be careful of not, we don't want anybody to think, okay, what we're going to say about this is maybe, universally applicable to every single couple out there, or, it's easy for us to get so focused on the details of our own circumstance that we miss maybe the principles that we're going to try to outline.
Okay.
But because what I really want to focus on here is because he asks a really good question. Basically, what he's saying is, how do I pursue a life that is abundant, like Jesus said, a life that's thriving?
Yes.
When the core human relationship that I have is not, like when it's struggling, when there's not connection there, like how do I, because it feels like an impasse in some ways. It's like, oh my goodness, I want to have the abundant life that Jesus says.
This is not what I see on TV.
Right.
In 30 minutes, they fall in love, make their connection. Okay, an hour, and she responds, he interacts, and everybody's wonderful.
Yeah.
But I live in a world of isolation.
Yeah.
Well, how do I handle that?
Yeah, and is it even, and maybe even what's underneath this question is the question of, is it even possible to live an abundant life when I feel emotionally disconnected from my spouse? What does that even look like? How do I bear this? How do I live well in this? Because there's a lot of different outlets that either spouse could go here, right?
Yeah.
He could go back to some addictive behavior. She could go into some coping mechanism. They could become roommates, all that, whatever. And what I think he's asking is, how do I navigate this well overall for me personally, but also for the relationship?
That's the question. I'm glad you kind of refined it because I think that's the question. How do I do this?
Yeah.
Because I don't seem to be able to influence my spouse. So how am I going to do this? So number one, I think God is teaching you to live successfully while you're in some discomfort. Right? Not all our dreams come true. Idealism doesn't always happen to everybody, perfection. And so I'm glad you're owning discomfort and labeling discomfort, because I think God wants to grow you through whatever this discomfort is.
Yeah, we've been doing a study recently in our church on 1 Peter. And, the book of 1 Peter is all about being faithful in suffering.
Mm.
Now, he gives all various aspects of suffering. You can, and certainly in their context, they were dealing with extreme persecution for just being Christians, living out their faith. But the principles in there apply. And one of the things that the whole book, what Peter really sets it up with is there's a refining nature to your character when you go through suffering and suffer faithfully, meaning like you don't bail out on God, you don't bail out on your, you know, loved ones. You choose to say, I'm going to let this refine my character.
Wow, and, that is good.
And here's the thing. I want to be really, really honest about
this.
I'm
taking notes, class.
I want to be really, really honest about this. I think many of us, especially those of us maybe that have been in the Christian faith for a while, we can have a lot of clear understanding of that on an intellectual level. It's like we can read 1 Peter and go, oh, it makes perfect sense. I see this, you know, this scattered church that's all throughout Asia Minor, and they're facing all this massive persecution and all these trials from Rome and all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, it makes sense that Peter would say, you know, endure this suffering.
To their then, well, about
or
them.
Or just the concept of like, yes, when great suffering is upon you, it is good to maintain your faith and be faithful in that.
But what is that, a head thing you're saying?
And what I'm saying is we can understand that in a head thing, and then to this guy's situation, you go, what does that look like for me when it's been 3 years and I feel less and less connected to my wife, and we're just kind of stuck.
Yeah, but the question is, he growing?
Yeah.
Right? Because the second point on my list is, how do you strengthen yourself? If you're going to go the distance, how do you build up endurance? Mm-hmm. How do you strengthen yourself? I know I'm repeating, but how do you strengthen yourself for a long battle, a long hard run, a long mission? Because if you're in discomfort, recognize where you are. Okay, that's where I am. But now I have to grow in my strength and endurance.
Yeah, and you know, again, not to sound repetitive on my side either, but 1 Peter really does. That's another thing that's being addressed there is, you know, consider the fact that you're not alone in this. And this is where I think the fellowship of believers, the church, is so vital to this. Because here's the thing. We see this happen all the time. You have couples that, man, the spit hits the fan. There's a blow up because of this addiction. And then there's some recovery that starts happening, some healing. But you hit some of these impasses, or you hit these places where it's just like, oh, we're at a plateau. This is not moving forward. How do I now? And I get this from men all the time. How do I do this well? And sometimes what ends up happening is because of the shame or the embarrassment to that couple of that situation, they don't let anybody in.
They quietly suffer.
They don't let
saying?
The body of Christ in. They don't let some trusted believers. And I'm like, brother, this is what I would say to this man. Brother, you need some men. You need some godly men in your life. She needs some godly women in her life. We need that support because to your question of how do you strengthen yourself to endure to the end? And to the end in marriage is till death do us part, right? So there's a tangible end to that commitment. And how do you do that? You need faithful brothers, faithful sisters around you to help you with that. Because, I mean, loneliness is real even in marriages.
Yes, yes.
And so we need to address that through the fellowship of believers.
That's good. So number three, you have to remind yourself that life is about growth and transformation, and stay on that mission and find a lot of joy there. Because you may or may not find some pleasure from your wife, but that doesn't mean that God and you on this walk through life can't have joy and pleasure.
Yeah, and this is another one of those that's really hard, right? Especially if you're listening to us and you're in any part of the Western world, kind of the Western, especially the Western American culture is addicted to pleasure. Like, it's an idol. Like, if you aren't absolutely comfortable, then something's terribly wrong, right? And I think about, again, the global church and how bad that can look to our brothers and sisters if they think that somehow you know, because I don't have a latte on a Saturday morning and a spa treatment, that somehow I'm suffering. It's like, oh man. Here's the thing. I'm not trying to be flippant about this, but the reality is I think we need to get, if I can put this, a little tougher spiritually. And I don't mean that in some kind of like machismo way. I'm just saying we need to realize that the way that we grow is not through comfort.
Oh, it's true.
It's suffering. Always through some kind of, we've got to endure something. We've got to wait. You know, you mentioned in a previous podcast, I think it was in a previous podcast, where you talked about how, you know, the kind of the long journey of life. And sometimes you've got to wait and then boom, somebody brings a word or something and there's such refreshment in that,
yes.
But you had to wait.
Yes.
It didn't come immediately. And I think sometimes we're so wanting the immediate, like I want to be immediately healed. I want to be immediately satisfied. I want to be immediately changed. And what I'm hearing you say is if life is about growth, by definition, growth is not instantaneous, especially when you look at the metaphors used in the Bible.
Mm.
Fruit, you know, these are not things, a lot of agricultural examples.
Soil. And,
it's like you don't get instant apples when you plant an apple seed.
So you jumped ahead to number four, which is fine.
Sorry, yeah.
No, growing you through suffering. If you think about it, and I love what you said, we're pleasure junkies. It's like, I'm so upset if I didn't get to the movies on Saturday afternoon. You know, it's my routine, and so it's so upsetting. Like, what? So the truth is, there's going to be some suffering going on. And we'd like comfort from our spouse, but if they're in so much pain, how do you carry your own suffering? You didn't get what you wanted. It's not going the way you want. There could be more, but you got less. How well do you do? Do you throw fits? Do you stump around? Do you say, well, I'll punish you because you punish me? Or can you find some peace and rest and joy in the Lord, even though it's difficult and it's not ideal and you're suffering?
Yeah, and what I would say on that too is that it's important, especially, you know, I mentioned earlier about kind of coming together with other believers. It's important when we do that and when we start sharing our stories with each other and sharing our sufferings that we do not make judgment of someone else's suffering. And what I mean by that is suffering is personal. So if I come into the group, Stephen, and I say something like, man, everything just, or you know what, you might even be able to give an example based on automobile failures. And if somebody comes into the group and says, man, I had this breakdown, I had my, you know, refrigerator go out and I had this happen. And yet somebody else in the group is going, in the back of their mind, they're going, my wife just filed divorce papers on me. Don't compare suffering. Okay.
Right.
Suffering is a personal thing. You can actually listen and have empathy for each other, even if you don't think that the suffering is equal. We're not trying to have equal suffering.
Right.
What we want to have is we want to have a safe enough place where it's like, brother, you're welcome here to suffer, but we want you to ultimately connect with the God of all joy, the God of all peace, the God of all wisdom.
Yes.
And so I think of, you know, James 1 that says, when you face these trials, what does God tell us to do? Ask for wisdom, because God gives generously. He doesn't hold back.
Yep.
And so that's kind of how we suffer well.
So I think we're talking about being a relationship that's not well connected. And there's not much joy. So I think you're going to be forced to face and walk through aloneness and even any fears you have of aloneness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a big topic.
That's huge.
To be alone, to be okay being alone. Because I think that's when people panic and they use their vices and they use their supplements and escaping because they don't like to be alone with themselves. And so alone is hard. And then it becomes doubly hard when you have a fear of being alone.
Right, yeah.
So then fear mucks it all up. You're already alone and uncomfortable. Then you get fearful, and then it's like double mucking it up. It's like, I don't want to be with me. Do I have to be with me? Can I be okay with me? I'm alone. Can I be happy alone? Can I be happy with me? No, I don't like me. Why do I want to be with me? I need you to distract me from me. Mm-hmm. I don't like alone.
And that's a lot of times then when a lot of controlling and manipulative behaviors come out, right? Because it's like, I've got to make you respond to me in a certain way. I've got to make sure that you're here. You can start to have a lot of paranoia that can start happening out of that. You know, as you were saying that, I thought, isn't it interesting that, you know, God knows us, right? I mean, God knows us better than anyone.
Yes.
And it's like he gives us all these assurances and these sweet promises of his presence in our lives, right? He says, hey, did you know that in Christ, the very Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead now dwells in you? And it's not a force, it's a person. It's the Spirit of Christ. So there's a sense in which even when you're trying to grapple with your fear of aloneness, we think of aloneness purely on this horizontal level, like, oh my goodness, if you, my friends, even leave me, if my wife dies or whatever it may be, we have this fear of like, I'm going to be alone. And we hear the whisper of Jesus saying, you're never alone.
Yes.
And so I would say part of the way we work on this in terms of our suffering and trying to live well in a situation that may not be ideal is we say, what does it look like for me to really know the voice of the Lord, to really know the Spirit of God that dwells in me, so that when all the circumstances of life around me may be up or down or sideways or gone, I have the assurance of the presence of God within me. Not that he's trying to isolate me into some place of just me and him, because we know even in the garden, God said just me and him was not the ideal state. He said, it's not good for man to be alone.
Oh, right.
So there's still a sense in which what I mentioned earlier about the fellowship of believers is important.
Yes.
But listen, even if you're in a season where you go, I'm totally alone. No, you're not. You have the Spirit of God in you.
So look at this. So, making you decide is what the challenge is. And you're going to decide if Abba Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit in you, around you, directing you, is that enough? You and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on a walk through life, is that enough to have a good life? Or is that not enough?
Yeah.
Because you're going to be alone a lot in this life. You just are. And how do you get in touch with Abba, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit's called the Comforter, the Counselor, the Teacher, right? Our guide. How do you live alone well? And then how do you ultimately really bond well? But if something happens and your partner gets sick or dies or Alzheimer's, back to alone you go. And so part of our mission is do alone well.
Yeah. Yeah, and do that spiritual work that is so necessary to that. You know, one of the things that I like to do is I have a little two-seater table, kind of cafe-style table in one of the hallways in my house, and it's got a window that overlooks kind of this little courtyard area that we have outside, and that's where I have my quiet times with Jesus every morning. And one of the things that I've tried to do over the years that helps me have a sense of I am never alone is there's always that seat right across the table from me. And I just imagine when I open the Word of God that Jesus just is right there.
Amen.
And so he's speaking to me. I may be reading these words, but he's really the one that's actually instructing me. He's the one I'm praying to. He's the one I'm interacting with. And so it gives a personified experience for me with Jesus. And it helps me to remember that, you know, whatever happens in this day around me, you know, if a car breaks down or if some relational rift happens or whatever, I go, he's with me all day long. Like, I'm not going anywhere on my own. You know, like, he goes with me.
Amen.
And it's a good just mental picture to have to remind us.
So God is shattering an old emotional, physical love template. That's what I'm telling this guy. You have an old template, and he's growing a new spiritual, God-centered love template inside you. So we're shifting from the old, it all works out, we're happy, we live happily ever after, all problems are solved, to God's walking with me through any storm, any loneliness, any lack I have, anything incomplete. And so I would say what I do is I try to go for a walk in the morning, and I walk this loop. And for the first walk, I won't listen to anything. It's just me telling God, okay, God, got to get this done today, and got to help me with the car, and my wife's hurting, and I got to pay this bill. I mean, every thought in my mind, I'm dumping it on God. I just want to clear my head in his presence. He knows me, and I want to say it in his presence because I want to run a clear mind. So what are we going to do for supper? And I got to go by the store, and I got to write this check. Every thought is my prayer to God. And I walk a whole loop. Then I can listen to a podcast or something else. But that's my quiet time with the Father, clearing my head and telling him, because I don't want to carry stuff and go, oh, don't think about it. Oh, do think about it. No, it's like I just tell God everything. Every thought in my head, I'm going to tell God. Because I want it out. I want it in the light. I want him to know I'm talking to him. And it says, pray without ceasing. What does it mean? It means everything you got. He wants to hear it.
You know, and as you were saying that, I was thinking, yeah, that even gets to that, you know, there's the Philippians passage where Paul is talking about don't be anxious for anything, pray and all this. But then he goes on and he talks about talks about the ability to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And people think of that as like a power passage. It's like, no, it's a contentment passage. Because he said, I know what it's like to be shipwrecked. I know what it's like to have plenty. I know what it's like to be poor. I know what it's like to be all this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what I'm hearing from you is you're saying, I'm bringing my whole self. I'm bringing all this. I'm giving it all to God. Whatever the circumstances, I know that he can be trusted with my life. I know that he can be trusted with my day. And so I can do it. I can walk through it. And I want this man to hear that, you know, this man and maybe the men out there who can identify with this guy who is saying, I'm struggling with the fear of aloneness. I'm struggling with the disconnect. I'm struggling with my own journey. I'm struggling with what would it look like if this is my life for the next 20 years? And can I endure that? I just want you to hear, in Christ, you can do all things. He can bring a contentment to your soul that circumstances have no bearing on. It doesn't mean we don't feel in response to circumstances, but it means your center is secure. I see. I talk to guys all the time, Stephen, in group and everything. And when I will ask them, how well do you do sitting in a room alone? Some of them feel like they got to start breathing in a paper sack right then. Like, oh my goodness, I'm hyperventilating. I can't imagine. Because, again, their culture, their life, their history, their brokenness, their addiction has taught them that that is the most fearful place to be, is in a room alone. And I think if men can go on a journey to where that can ultimately be a place of peace, rest, and joy, you've won. Like you have won.
Amen.
The victory.
And I think that story you're telling, that guy sitting there should say, okay, God, it's you and me. I'm alone. I'm here. It's just you and me. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? Because either I'm going to get scared or I'm going to be present, slow down, stay calm, go deep, say the reality. It's just me alone. Because I think what healthy guys would do, what do I want to do? Do I want to clean something? Fix something, go for a walk, play my guitar, sing a song, build something.
Call somebody.
Call a friend. I mean, you could do 100 things when you're alone.
Yeah.
Or you could panic and freak out. Mm-hmm. But it always should start, okay, God, it's you and me. I'm alone. It's just you and me. Me with you and you with me. And what are we going to do, God?
Yeah.
Because then I think you can start to build a list. I haven't called my old friend in a while, and you know, this has been nagging on me. And when he, instead of run,
right?
It's yeah. me. It's ugly, defective, sad me. Run.
So all right. we're here to help you stop the running. We want to help you take your next best step on this journey of transformation and freedom. And so please reach out to us. Also, if you'd like more of these kind of great little daily thoughts, you can go to drmarriage.org. That's Stephen's website. And he puts one of these thoughts out every single day to just help men especially to grow in their relational skills, their emotional growth. Because that's what this was all about, right? God is growing you even through a difficult, lonely circumstance.
And I think if you think about it, if this man stays on growth mission and he becomes more peaceful and fun, he laughs, he loves well, she can't help but move towards him.
I think it has a healing effect.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And it'll take some time because obviously he's messed up too. And so, but the more you ground yourself in truth and rest and you can enjoy life, that who doesn't want to be around a guy that's peaceful and restful, insightful, challenging, he's got some wisdom. Who doesn't want that? You know, they're magnetic.
Exactly. Yeah.
So sign up for the program for only $99. We'll send you the how to be a magnetic, wonderful. That's a joke. No. Okay, sorry. Forget the last part.
But we do want to help you take that next step. So reach out to us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time. Take care.
God bless.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.